We are live, the edge of reality here on the NDB Media Channel on Blog Talk Radio. Happy Thursday to you all. And of course, Thursday means that we're one step closer to the weekend. So happy weekend to everyone as well. We missed you last week. It was on me. I am sorry. I was not feeling good. I'm bouncing back. I'm ready to go. Man, we got a lot to talk about. Holy cow. We lost three people on Survivor, two of which are returnees. We had the Edge of Extinction come back. We saw that go down. We saw lots of things happen, which we need to discuss in length. Then we've had the challenge. We've had Million Dollar Mile, which premiered after Survivor last night, which I watched. Thank you very much. I watched it. And I can't wait to give you my take. So much to discuss. But before I do anything else, I got to say hello to my co-host and producer, Priscilla. Hey, Priscilla, what's going on this evening?
Hola. All is good in the world. What's up with you?
Oh, you know, we're here. We're doing this. It's you know, I've got a ton to talk about in terms of Survivor. And a bunch of questions that I want to ask you, scenarios that I want to go through. But before I talk about that, I just want to give a quick little synopsis to Million Dollar Mile, because I watched that. I watched it tonight because I was working last night. Very exciting. But I watched it tonight. And I got to say, we did talk about it, I think, hardly at all on here on the podcast, because, you know, I didn't know what my take on it was. It looked very Titan. It looked very American Ninja Warrior. It looked very Spartan Challenge. And I tend to like those kind of things, but like Titan, we didn't talk about it a lot. The rock show that happened, you know, in the winter. Yeah. I mean, it was okay. I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It just kind of happened. I could never see it again and be okay, but I did watch it. That's, you know, I did watch it. But I got to say, I really liked this first episode of Million Dollar Mile. The concept is interesting. I thought that people had to run a full mile and there were challenges or obstacles within that mile that people have to happen. It's not exactly what I expected. There's five challenges, all like a fifth of a mile apart. I say challenges, they're obstacles. Five obstacles about a fifth of a mile apart. You can choose what order you do these obstacles. So they're, you know, you can cut around. And then it ends where you have to climb up a large building and zip line down. And that's how you win the game. Now, what I kind of went in thinking, oh, you know, it's $1 million. Nobody's going to win this. But I was happy to see that people can win increments of money throughout the game that's not $1 million. So that's always nice. I hate when people go home with nothing, Priscilla. I hate when that happens. I hate when it's like $1 million or nothing.
Right.
So if you complete an obstacle, you get a certain amount of money. The more obstacles you complete, the more money that you get. And you have to be able to go scale the building and walk in order to get that money. So there's still a chance that you don't get any money, but that's more, it's more of a strategy at that point then, and that's on you. And not only that, you're also being chased by a world-class athlete. And if they can chase you down, you're out of the game. So there's a lot of different elements to it. It actually reminded me of back in the day, Priscilla. I don't know if you remember this, because this might be only me that remembers things like this. But there was a show on the Sci-Fi Network back when sci-fi was super into reality shows, and it was called The Chase, where they chase people around a city and they competed in different games. This is like that, but on a much larger scale. And I like that show too. We actually had the host of the show on our podcast, if you remember correctly, that actually happened.
Yep.
But I liked it because there was a lot of elements happening. There was an element of strategy going on. The way that they edited it, or the way that it, you know, was being chased, it was kind of freaky, which I liked. It had like a weird, like, horror movie element of someone being chased down, which was kind of cool. Tim Tebow, though, terrible host. I could live without him. I can totally live without Tim Tebow as a host. But he wasn't so bad where I was like, oh my God, you're making it. We're not talking about Utopia host bad, where I was like creeped out every time I saw him and like was like, you know, hide your children whenever he came on camera. So he's not that bad, but he's not good. He's not good. There's also commentators that are not Tim Tebow, and I don't quite get their purpose, but one is named Matt Money Smith, money in quotation marks, and they call him Money. Absolutely not. You're a grown man. No one's calling you Money. Absolutely not. I had a big issue with this.
And he looks like he's in charge of one of the nerd offs, you know?
I know. He looks like an accountant, which is probably why they're calling him Matt Money Smith. I don't know. But I was like, absolutely not. Absolutely not will I ever refer to this man as Money. So when Tim Tebow did it, I was like, I hope Tim Tebow died a little bit inside when he was like, all right, Money. Like, no, absolutely not. So that was my biggest takeaway. But the show itself, the game itself, I was into. I liked it. I thought it was kind of cool and interesting.
It's going to be one of those ones, though, that it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be cool for the first couple of episodes, possibly, but it's going to be just regurgitated. Different people, same scenario, and it's going to get old real quick.
Well, but I think the obstacles are going to change, which will be helpful in that.
That would help.
But I also like that there was just a little bit of strategy. I mean, there was some strategy in there. You know, when we saw, and I'm glad you watched it too, when you saw that last guy, the police officer, when he decided to go into the water first, I thought, that's a terrible decision. One of the obstacles involved a water feature, and you have to do all five eventually. But the fact that he wanted to get wet first was a terrible, terrible idea.
Have not seen to that. I've watched the only part of it, so I got the gist of it. But I'm actually had a different feeling on Tim. I actually was not disturbed by his performance. I thought that he was trying too hard, and I think his nerves came across. I mean, he brought the energy. I think he lacked a little bit of confidence, maybe.
That's a good take, actually. That's a good take. That's a good thought. You're right in the. I didn't find him disturbing or creepy. I compared him to the host of Utopia, and that was bad because remember the host of Utopia? We were very concerned for him. We thought he was a legit serial killer. Remember him with the mustache? Oh yeah, yeah. But so he was not creepy, but you're absolutely right. It's a good call. I think he was trying too hard. He definitely had a lot of energy and it was like weirdly misplaced. So he would like just yell things a lot. I didn't love it. I don't, you know, and Titan kind of fell into this trap too. They have this big, you know, Titan had The Rock. But then there had these two random commentators, and it was kind of like, you know,
why?
Rock can't do play-by-play. You know, why? What are all these people doing here? And, you know, Tim Tebow, he's a name. He couldn't figure something out. He couldn't bounce off with just one of the other people.
The Rock has better things to do. He was just there for his face because he was a producer and he wanted to go places. So he used a little bit of his face to get it further in the promos. That's why they left it in the hands. But they didn't necessarily need two commentators. One would have been
no. And, you know, those shows, just to, you know, go a little bit behind the scenes, I heard that Kevin Hart's show that Tyler was on, that I can't even remember the name at this point, and it was so terrible I stopped after one episode. You know what it is. The one with Tyler.
Well, I can't think of the name of it either because I think I only watched Tyler.
That's how great it was. It happened this summer. I talked about Utopia on this episode, something that happened like 5 years ago, and I don't remember what Kevin Hart's show was. But anyway, he filmed that in 4 days, that entire season. I feel like Titan was a very similar, like, bang this out in a weekend type thing. But, you know, I you're right. I don't hate Tim Tebow, but he needs to calm it down. And, like, absolutely not, like, with Matt Money Smith. Like, absolutely not. So that's my general takeaway. But I will absolutely watch this show. Also, speaking of shows that I watched, I also watched Mental Samurai because, you know, I'm here for you. That's what I do. I watched the first episode. And it's more game show than reality show, but I was kind of into the game aspect of it. It's essentially you have to answer 12 questions in 5 minutes, and the questions are very visual, which I kind of liked. And it's a very interesting, like, fast-paced game show. So if you like trivia questions, if you like visual questions, and you don't like to be interrupted by, like, you know, Regis or, you know, crazy theme music, it was a decent show. There's this catapult that they, you know, they have to fly through the air with as kind of just like a, I don't know, I guess it's because you're flying and you don't know what you're going to do next, and it all kind of contributes to the chaos. I mean, it's a thing that's happening. I don't think they necessarily need that construct. But, you know, maybe that's what they thought they needed to do in order to, you know, people would talk about it more. I don't know. Also, Rob Lowe is the host of this. Rob Lowe. I mean, these game show hosts must be making bank, because Rob Lowe is hosting this show. I'll just have to say about that. I mean, Rob Lowe was on Parks and Rec, for God's sakes. He was on The West Wing, you know. And I mean, so he must be, it must be like such a low, like, you know, they must have filmed that in 4 days too. And it's kind of like, here, come in for this long weekend. We'll pay you $90 million.
But I think Rob Lowe does at a point where he's doing things to, like, for himself, because him and his sons did one on, and I think it was the Discovery Channel, where they traveled around and did different things. And that was something he was able to do with his boys. I'm sure that he didn't bring the bank on that. I think he's at a point in his career where he's just doing what he wants to do, if that makes sense.
You think Rob Lowe is like, man,
yes,
you know what I really want to do? Host Mental Samurai?
It's possible. It's interesting to him. Was he a producer on the show, possibly?
I know. I was just thinking that. I'm like, what is the? Is he producing this show? Next time I watch this show, I will, like, look and see if he's producing it as well, because that's an excellent point. And if he is producing it, that makes so much more sense. And
right.
He's Rob Lowe is charming and lovely and a great host. And I mean, I found the show interesting. It's not something that I would watch. You know, it's not something that I'm, like, dying to watch. It's a game show. But, you know, in terms of game show standards, I thought it was fine.
just like LeBron. Isn't LeBron James producer of Million Dollar Mile?
He is. He is. We got the opening sequence with LeBron. We've gotten LeBron James produced, Tim Tebow hosting. So,
which is a,
I guess it was,
thing anyways in my book. You take the virgin Tim Tebow and the probably not so virgin LeBron, totally different personalities, kind of a mixed match there in my opinion, but.
Well, why didn't LeBron just host the show?
Exactly. Well, he didn't, the last one he didn't host either. It was a game show
yeah.
that he was doing. I don't remember. I don't think he did all that well. I never watched it. The Wall
yeah.
or something.
No, don't talk about The Wall.
Okay.
I know. Never mind. That's Hole in the Wall. Never mind. Roncho.
That's not Hole in the Wall thing when you do your game show.
Hole in the Wall. Never mind. Hey, guess what else is happening? Paradise Hotel is coming to Fox in May. I'm so excited about this, Priscilla. Look, this is Temptation Island. I absolutely love. This one happened, and it's like I can't even talk about Temptation Island. Maybe one day I can bring myself to talk about like how, you know, it wasn't as fun and campy as the previous versions of it. But, oh, my God, one of the couples, it was probably the saddest thing I've ever seen. And it was so hard to watch basically, Evan, the guy, completely cheated on her over and over. She, like, begged him to take her back. It was pretty much the saddest thing I've ever seen. And so that happened. But Paradise Hotel is coming back, and I love Paradise Hotel so much. Now all they need to do is bring the mole back yet again, and I will be so happy.
You need to rephrase that. You like the original Paradise Hotel. I believe they tried to bring it back before, and you were not a fan.
You know what? I can't remember. Because the original, yes, I loved it. The second one, I watched it. I think I didn't like it as much as the first version, but I think I still watched it and liked it. They have they have the theme song, Two Tickets to Paradise, which I love, and which I still remember. And I'm in. I am in on Paradise Hotel. I am in that CBS is doing Love Island, which I'm very excited about. I'm in on all of this because, you know what, I'm kind of out on The Bachelor. So it's like I still need to get my fix of, like, trashy dating show TV that's not The Bachelor. So I think this is where this all stems from.
Thanks.
Yeah, I just need the mole to come back, and then I will be, like, so – I will be so in the zone. I'll be so happy. Can you work on that? Because I really would like that.
I'll work on that. But I think we did work on that back in the day, and it didn't go very far.
We did. But we'll try again. We'll try to make it hard. We'll make another attempt. Why not? We did really try hard for that one, didn't we?
We did. If you recall, I think the only person we did not have on the show of the mole was the winner. And he was supposed to, and something came up. And there were a couple of times, multiple mole people. I mean, I think the majority of the cast was on at the same time on the night it premiered, the finale night, I think. And they were.
Yeah, I know.
To.
We were. Oh, yeah. We killed it. We would have to do it again. If the mole came back on, we would have to do that again. All right.
Correct. Crash the site for blog.
I know. We need to make the whole mole happen. But I'm very happy about Paradise Hotel. And Temptation Island, yes, I would watch another season because I can't not. But it was so tragic. It was so tragic. Maybe one day I'll talk about it. But it was like it made me very few things make me feel like super, super uncomfortable. And the finale of Temptation Island made me feel like so uncomfortable and like embarrassed for this girl. And like, oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. It took the fun and campy right out of this show. But all right. So we got to talk a little bit about Survivor. We got to get into this here. So much has happened, but I want to set you up with a scenario, Priscilla, because I honestly don't know. I've gone back and forth on this a couple times, and I want to hear your take. All right, so we know Joe. Joey Amazing. We know that he cannot lose in a group tribal. You know, group challenges, boom, Joey Amazing, perfect. Perfect. He has never lost. In all of the seasons that he has played, he has never gone to tribal council before merge. Facts. Okay? However, when he gets to the merge, his first, maybe not his first, but, you know, he doesn't win every single immunity challenge. So pretty close to when the merge goes down, he leaves. He gets voted out. Okay? So this week we have the merge and Joey gets voted out. This is not terribly surprising. This is not terribly surprising. But let me go through two scenarios with you and you tell me which one you would do if you were in this position.
Sure.
You find out that Edge of Extinction exists. You see these people come back, and Jeff tells you that it's going to happen again, okay? Someone is going to come back in this game again. So now you have a decision to make. You have Joey, Joey Amazing, who loses the immunity challenge, and this is your opportunity to take him out. However, you know that he's not completely out of the game. He's going to Edge of Extinction, and there's a possibility that he could come back into the game. So do you, A, vote him out so he goes to Extinction Island? You hope that Extinction Island is you're hoping that Edge of Extinction is a bad enough place where he gets weaker, and he doesn't win the challenge to get back? Or do you keep him until you know that this twist is over, and then you just get him out once for good, instead of the possibility of him going back, go to Edge, winning, coming back, and then you have to take him out again? What would you do in this situation?
Well, it depends. Am I an ally of his or not? As an ally of his, he's always going to be a target ahead of me. If I'm not an ally of his, I've always felt second chance places, when you know them about them, you shouldn't worry about the unknown at that particular time, because the more people that you can put in there that could be of his statue, like the Chris's and that, there's only one person coming back, and Chris didn't come back, you know? So I say play the game like you normally would and then deal with it when it comes. But if you have a chance, take him out, take him out.
I'm kind of in your camp here. I agree. I think that, you know, Ron and the crew made a good decision. Take him out. You know, there's a chance that he might not come back in. He doesn't win every single challenge in the world, so that's a possibility. And meanwhile, you know, they saw everybody coming in. They all seemed, you know, kind of rough. They looked in pretty rough shape. And you're hoping that it's just like a rough place in your, you know.
Right.
But the other thing you also have to contend with is this. You know, you have to hope, too, that you're not evicted, you're not, you know, voted out of the game, because then you're going to have to compete directly with Joey to get back into the game. So it also diminishes your chances if you get voted out. which is another kind of part of the story.
Joe is a fisherman, so edge of extinction or whatever, those people might be fed pretty well.
Yeah.
When it comes to it.
Well,
so
maybe. Maybe. That's a good point. Well, we'll see. I didn't blame them for wanting Joey out.
I would have thought something's up if they didn't think about that.
Oh, yeah. Now, this Karma 6, this alliance that is formed, I think that they feel that they are much better at this game than they think they are. Joey has kept them safe this entire time. And their first big move is to vote out Joey, which is not it makes sense. I'm not mad at it. But they were like, yeah, we're so awesome. And it's like, talk to me when you've been through a couple of tribal councils. I was not super interested in them thinking that they were awesome when Joe single-handedly kept them safe in the game for, until merge. They're just and this is where it's going to be interesting and where the remaining members of the lesser tribe are going to be an advantage because they've been playing this game. The Karma 6 and everybody in Joe's tribe, they haven't had to play the game yet. Now they get to play the game for real, and they get to see how it works. And so I'm interested to see how that's going to play out, how that's going to work. What do you think about the idea of everybody getting to be on jury?
Okay. I was a little confused by this. Is he just calling them jury so that way they can be there here to hear all of the scuttlebutt of what goes down, so they're kind of in the loop if they go back in? Or are they really considered jury? Because that's like everybody. But it makes sense to me to keep everybody in sequester like that, instead of going to Ponderosa or whatever. But I don't know. To me, that sounds like, as soon as I heard that, I was like, jury, what is this like a real name for? Because I don't think they're all going to be in jury. Because they're all going to be let go at some point.
No, my take on it is that they're all going to jury and voting in the end. That was
really?
My interpretation of it. Yeah, my interpretation is because they're at the point where, they're going to be on Extinction Island. So usually what happens is, there's the people that are pre-jury and they go, after they've collected all of them, they go away and they go on a vacation, they go on a trip. They don't go back home. Because, that would be everybody goes back home together. But they go and they travel and stuff. And then the jury ends up in Ponderosa.
Right.
And, so they all have that. And then, the finalists and that's the end of it. But this time around, they're on Extinction Island. Everybody is still technically in the game, with the exception of Wendy and Keith, which we'll talk about. But everybody is still in the game. So theoretically, there's no trip after, they're in jury. They're all going to be there. So my take on it was that they're all going to be in jury no matter what.
Okay, that just seems very weird to me. And so now you just brought up another scenario of the two quitters.
Well, I don't think the quitters are going to be in jury. I think the quitters are done. They don't get to be in jury.
No, I wasn't going there. I mean, your opinion on the quitters, and had they told them that they were going to be on jury before that? Does that make sense? Before the quitters quit?
Yeah. I think a couple things, just to kind of close the loop on the jury thing. I don't love the idea of this crew being on the jury. I don't love the idea that, Reem was the first one voted out. she was only in the game for 3 days. She doesn't know anyone, but she definitely doesn't know half of the group. You know, to go and make a call, I mean, I guess she'll go and listen to what everybody has to say at each tribal council from now on, but it just seemed weird to me I just don't love that idea that, you know, everybody's a jury member. However, they do it on Celebrity Big Brother. Now on Celebrity Big Brother, it's slightly different because everybody can see it. They've done it on other seasons of things. So it's not, you know, it's been done. It's not the end of the world. I don't love the fact that they'll have so little knowledge on what the game actually is. And then they're going to vote for the person who wins. I don't love that. You can clearly see that this season was shaped around the fact that they were going to have four returnees, and they wanted to make sure that these four returnees stayed on TV the entire season one way or another. You know what I mean? Like, you can clearly see that is what the intention was. So that's what we're getting. But because of that, I think it's really actually hindered the show this season, because I don't really care about any of the new players. You know, I don't know most of them. I get some of them still confused. I don't care about this Karma 6 because I don't like the fact that they think they're so cool when, you know, they really have done nothing thus far. You know, I don't really care about them in any way, shape, or form. Now, maybe we'll get to know the people a little bit better, but I think it's been, you know, a downfall to have four returnees, because the only people that I actually care about are the returnees. And when I say returnees, I mean Wentworth. I really don't care about Joe that much. And we can talk about Aubrey in a second. I was rooting for Aubrey, but man, she went out in a very, very brutal way. But I'm not loving the idea that everybody gets jury, and I know it's to keep everybody on screen, but I think the side effects of that is that we don't really know who we're watching this season. And as a result, I think the season's not as interesting. So that's my overall take on it. Now, we can talk about Wendy and Keith quitting. Did you think it was weird that they found out that they have another chance to stay in the game? And everybody looked really stoked about that. I mean, Aubrey, she was like, yeah, all right, let's go. Like, she was super excited about it. Everybody seemed very, very happy about it. And then all of a sudden, like, they quit. That just seemed like a major, like, thing that you had to hit. Like, all of a sudden, boom, two people quit. I wish that we had something that's like, oh, this is really hard. Oh, I thought that we were going to be done with this, and now we keep going with it. We didn't get anything like that, Priscilla. We didn't get, oh, why did they decide that they didn't want to do this?
Yeah, I thought it was a little weird. Usually they usually give an explanation of what, oh, this, you know, brought me back, whatever. But we didn't get any of that.
Yeah, and I would like to assume that it's like everything sounded great, like in theory, like, oh, you're still in the game. And then they got back there and they were like, oh, man, now we have to do this for a few more days. Like, no, thank you. And they quit. But we didn't get the, you know, I really can't do this anymore. But you did get confessions from them, but the confessions were just like, you know, like I've proven myself. I feel good about myself, you know, that kind of thing. Who the hell cares about that? Give me why. Why are you making this decision? So I thought that was kind of weird. But, you know, I read the EW summary, Dalton Ross's summary of the episode, and in it he kind of said that Jeff didn't necessarily call it a full quit. He didn't necessarily consider it like a quit in the way that some of the others were a quit. And I wanted your take. Like, do you think that Wendy and Keith quit, or do you not think it's a quit?
In my opinion, if you can continue in the game and you choose not to, that's called a quit, a quitter. There's a whole lot of people that would love to have been in those shoes if they had, just the reaction from Aubrey. I mean, look, good God, she could have been more excited, you know. So as long as you have a chance in the game, if you're playing the game with Survivor, you should be that excited to stay in that game and make it work out, my opinion.
I agree. I think I would consider it a quit as well. I believe that, you know, any opportunity where they're still technically in the game because they have a chance to come back into the main game, I think is a quit. You know, I wonder though, would you consider it a quit? Let's say Keith decided to, because Keith was the one where they had the, you know, cliffhanger, like in the next episode, we'll see if he goes to Extinction Island. What if he decided at that point that he was not going to go? Would that be considered a quit?
Yes. If you have a chance to continue in the game and you choose not to, that is quitting.
Okay. See, I don't know. That's a weird one for me because you're technically out of the game. So in that moment, you're done with the game. And then, boom, you have the chance to go back. But then if you don't take it, I don't know if you consider it a quit. I don't know. It's America.
You're out of the game that is seen in the actual game going on, but now you're in a side game of the game, and it's still a game. And that was a lot of games. It's a side game.
True. Just to talk a little bit about Wendy, I'm surprised and yet I'm not surprised. You know, I don't know. People kind of thought that it was like her shtick was like funny and oh, what a character and blah, blah, blah. I was not here for Wendy. I'll just tell you why. I mean, I'm kind of over people who want nothing to do with the game. And Wendy clearly wanted nothing to do with the game. Like, she just wanted to be there. She wanted the experience. She wanted to be on TV. And, you know, it's part of the reason why I didn't love Mike from last season, because even though he was a millionaire, he was just like, I'm just here for the experience. I want to, you know, check things off my list and whatever. I don't like that. I want people to be there who, like, want to win. Not just want to, like, oh, it would be cool. Like, actively are seeking to win. And Wendy was not that.
Mike wasn't my interpretation. Mike, that was his way of saying, I don't really have to be here. I just want the experience and you keep me in the game. That was all game on his part, I think. He wanted to win.
I don't know. There are moments where he was weird about it. But I don't think Wendy I don't think Wendy ever had the intention of, like, playing this game and, like, getting further in the game. I think it was all about, like, what can I do to stay relevant? What can I do to be talked about? And, you know, so what did she do? She freed chicken. She stole Flint. She did all of these things that, like, you know, get people talking about you. So I feel it weird that she would leave an experience that people are talking about her still. But at the same time, she was just going to be sitting there, you know, because she wasn't going to get back into this game. So, I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was a weird one. The other thing that I definitely wanted to point out was from last week. And when they had the clues and there was the map folding, and the map folding led to finding the disadvantage. This is why I don't really want to see people say, wouldn't it be great to see a season of Survivor or a season of Big Brother where all of the first out contestants come back and play again? The reason that is always a no for me is like what transpired. The events that transpired where they found it was a map, they told each other how to fold the map, and then they ran out and helped each other and showed each other where the... I mean, it was the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. I was like, what is going on with these people? How can they not get it together? Like, they could not get it together. There was absolutely like no ounce of like strategy or like basic understanding of like this could be something, shut the hell up and start doing it. They were all just out there like showing each other how to do these things. It was crazy to me. And I was like, well, this is what happens when you're the first five people out. Like, this is the crazy shit that you do. And I just thought to myself, this is why I would never want to see a early boot, you know, season of Survivor. There's few exceptions to that. Wentworth is an exception to that in her first season. But I couldn't take it, Priscilla. I could not handle the you know, like the bumbling idiocy of what was taking place on that Extinction Island.
Right. A lot of bumbling going on. I know. I mean, you have to give credit. What was it, Keith, who had the balls to say, "Oh no, I'm going to go get it. See ya." Not doing
it. I know. I thought that was great. I thought that was good. But they were like, "Oh my God, he left. How? Why would you?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? He left. Of course he left." I mean, I just thought it was nuts. I was just like, yeah, I don't need. I'm not, the season's fine, but I'm not over the moon about it. I'm not loving it. I love David versus Goliath, but this one not so much. Between not really being connected to the people and not loving the Edge of Extinction concept or twist, I'm okay with it. It's okay, but I'm not loving it. I don't know. Are you into it at all?
The season? I don't know. It's been going on for so long with Survivor. It all comes down to casting. I mean, like Big Brother last season, the casting was actually really good, and I enjoyed the season a lot better than I have in several years. I think it all comes down to casting, and they just haven't had a great cast in the last several years. I mean, they tried to bring back returning players to put some spaz back in it, but it doesn't work. I mean, because now all we're focused on is the four returning players and what they've done. And I don't want to be returning, all my focus going on returning players. I'd like to like enjoy the cast, a new cast, and have them all mesh in a way that is good for us to watch. If that makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I liked the cast last season. I like David versus Goliath. I think that they have done, you know, they've had some you know, good casts in the last few seasons. I just find that, you know, Survivor, because it's a show that is on twice a year, they have one that's like a really strong one and then one that's a little bit weaker. And I'm like, do they spend more time on one concept and not the other? But apparently they filmed these seasons and then showed them backwards. So like this season was filmed first and then it was shown in the spring. So I don't know if that means they had a little bit more time to cast the other season. I don't know what the difference is. But I just find that there's always like one season that's like much stronger than the other. But, you know, I'll take it. I'm still watching. I'm still interested. We'll see what happens. I'm still rooting for, you know, sweet Wentworth. who is just, you know, she's going to be out relatively shortly. And then, you know, we'll see what happens if my interest level goes down completely. But she's managed to dodge a bullet again. And it'll be interesting because the last two returnees are David and Kelly from the smaller tribe. And, you know, they have to be able to stick together. You know, this idea that you know, Kelly was trying to get out Rick, I think it's just dumb. You know, they need to stick together for a few votes and dwindle down some of these numbers and get, like, the, you know, the Julias of the world out of there. And the Auroras and the Gavins. Like, I'm just trying to think of the random names of people, you know. But I think that by design of this season, we're going to get a very, like, mediocre winner. Like, a winner that you're just like, what are you going to do? You know, just by the design of this season, the fact that there's returnees, the fact that there's Extinction Island, they're kind of setting you up for, like a mediocre winner. I don't know. That's my take on it anyway. I don't know. That's my take on it. I mean, I was trying to think how much I liked Nick as a winner and from last season. And I mean, there were other people. Well, I mean, we were actively rooting for Davey, so we were but, you know, at least a David won, which is all we wanted, was a David to win, and we got that. So we're okay.
You know,
but we
I
also
want
to do it.
I could take or leave him this season.
Who?
David.
Oh, David Wright?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I think what he's doing is interesting. I think that he's absolutely been the person that's been able to integrate the best with the newbies. And you know, here's to the newbies for putting vets on the radar. Like, that's a good thing. Like, that we don't see that a lot. And we've seen time and time again vets getting to the end. And, you know, which makes for a boring season for us. So we're seeing some aspects of, like, good gameplay there. Yeah, but I agree. David, his first season I could take or leave as well, I think. You know, there was so much going on, and you know, I liked Adam a lot, and I thought Hannah was kind of kooky, and I kind of enjoyed her. There was a lot going on his original season, but yeah, I'm kind of indifferent. But you know, the fact that Wentworth has been able to, like, outlast for this week's these amount of weeks is, you know, I guess we can take that as a win. Now that she's officially made it to merge, I guess it's like, okay, she didn't embarrass herself her third time out. I guess I'll take that as a win. I don't know. I just want Wentworth to be okay, and she's not going to be. She's not.
She sure did. She looked unfazed at the tribal, though. You know, like both of them, Lauren and her, like, looked at each other like, you know, nope, we're not using them. We're good. So, I mean, kind of weird how she's been able to, I think the key to Wentworth staying is Lauren, actually.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's true, too. I think that in War Dog, I think, she's found a couple of little allies with her. I hope that she doesn't leave with the idol in her pocket. I don't like that Aubrey left with the idol in her pocket. I'm so excited that women are finally winning idols that I just need them now to use them. And so I'm worried about that. I'm like, I don't need women shouldn't win idols because they don't know how to use them kind of situation either.
So let me ask you this. Had she come back in the game, does she still have her idol?
Yeah, you know what? I thought about that too, and I would think that the answer is no. When she was voted out of the game, the idol is like null and void, along with her. She had an extra vote as well. She really had like a lot of advantages that she left with. So I don't think so. But what I was wondering is if she still physically had it and if she could use it as a fake idol. That was my question.
These are questions you to, send off to your buddy Probes. Tweeting.
I know. I really
should. Do a Twitter. Do a Twitter friendly conversation.
It would be interesting if, we've seen a lot of fake idol play with people making idols. But, for someone to have an actual idol that looks super, that is real looking, and to either give it to somebody else to use or just have it and say that you have an idol. I mean, that's great. That's great. That's an advantage, but I just don't know if they would allow her to do that. But I'm like 99% sure that her idol is no longer, it's void.
So, but that was a question I had.
Yeah. Well, I'm bummed out. I need Lauren and Wentworth to use their idols. They don't have to necessarily use them correctly. I just need them to use it. That's all I'm asking for. What was I going to say? Challenges happening. I wanted to make sure that I brought up the challenge in the last couple of minutes because that's happening. We are seeing... How did you like the tables turning on Wes a little bit last week? Did you enjoy that?
My DVR is not DVRing it. I got to go back and watch it. I just happened the other day. Think I haven't seen the challenge in a couple of weeks.
You need to go back and watch. It's now we're seeing a direct division between UK teams and non-UK teams, which makes it interesting because obviously there are teams that half of them are UK and half of them are non-UK. So that makes for an interesting dynamic. And then along with that is, a situation happened where the non-UK teams like couldn't get it together and it resulted in a non-UK team going home again when they had the opportunity to send a UK team home. So it's not great. It's not a good look that they are doing. It's really setting them, it's really making the vets kind of look dumb. Like you, in the sense that I thought for a long time that their drama was fake and when they could throw it away and not fake, but they could throw it away because they want to win $1 million and work together. And this season they just can't. Like, the drama between them is so big that they can't get it together, and they're going to allow rookies to win this season, which I'm not mad at. I'm fine with. But, you know, Wes, you were so excited about Wes, and he seemed like this, you know, it's so great that he's like dominating this game. But I think that he made some mistakes in getting rid of the people that he wanted to get rid of so early, because now I think it's biting him in the ass.
Well, it usually does with Wes.
Yeah, true. You know, and I don't know. Something like the challenge where you only win money if you're in a certain place. Like, I don't know if I necessarily, if I was Wes, would I care if I went home in ninth place or in sixth place? Would that be a huge deal to me? Do you care? It's kind of like Survivor when after you hit the merge. If you're in 10th place or 12th place, does it really matter? Not really. What's a couple spots? It doesn't necessarily matter.
Survivor, they do get paid on how they leave the game, because remember there was that big ordeal with Hayden when he came back and then left, and there was a big scuttlebutt about whether he should have had that. I think he went two spots higher than what he left when he first left, and somebody pitched a bitch about him getting paid or something. I remember there's big scuttlebutt. I don't know if the challenge actually does anything like that as well, but I'm assuming they almost have to.
Yeah, but check it out. The season is a solid season. I'm really digging it, but it's just it doesn't make a ton of sense, and the UK teams are just destroying the American teams right now. But
they are.
I'm not mad at. I'm not mad at. I mean,
I'm ready for some of those guys to be knocked down a couple pegs.
Yeah. I'm not a big Bear person, and I'm not like I really don't care for. I think, like, I can live without them. I love Turbo always and forever. Like, I will, you know, whatever. I love him. But he's not a UK team, but I love him. Like, I would be very happy with him as a continuous player in the game. So we'll see what happens. All right, guys, that's it for us for tonight. If you want to follow us on Twitter, that would be awesome. I'm at Reality Allie. That's Reality A-L-L-I-E. Priscilla is at P-S-I-L-L-A. And, of course, you can follow us on Facebook at The Edge of Reality. And if you want to listen to archive shows, catch the interviews with the Molecast that we did, you can do that on blocktalkradio.com or on iTunes. Next week, we will talk about Survivor. We will talk about The Voice, because we haven't talked about that for a while. Let's talk about a bunch of other shows. Until then, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next week.
Night, everyone.
Welcome to The Edge of Reality. Where's your edge? Give it up for your host, Allie.
Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night,